I love the theme song in that very short musical. People Need the Lord. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? With sort of a haunting melody to it. But is it really true? Do people really need the Lord? Quite frankly, not everybody I talk to agrees with that. Some people say all paths lead to God. You know, one way is as good as another. Other people say, well, folks can believe as they please. We have no right to pressure them to believe in Jesus the way we do. Still others say, religion's a private matter. We shouldn't press people to talk about it. And when it comes to people, primitive peoples in pagan countries, they're saying things like, leave them alone. They're perfectly happy the way they are. We don't need to force our religion on them. In other words, people don't really need the Lord. They can get along perfectly all right without Him, here and hereafter. I thought it might be helpful to think through just why people do need the Lord for a few minutes tonight. That may motivate us to heed the exhortation the young people have given to us in song this evening, and in word, so capably. And go and be His witnesses. Why do people need the Lord? First of all, they need Him because they're lost. They're lost. Jesus made that perfectly clear. He said He came to seek and to save those who were lost. The Apostle Paul said, if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost. Everybody knows what lost means. And the older I get, the more clearly I know what lost means. You know, I'll lay my glasses down somewhere. Can't remember where I laid them. Spend 20 minutes looking for them. They're lost. They're of no value to me. They're lost to usefulness to me. I can't find them, and I can't read, you know. That's the way we are by nature. We're lost. Lost to eternal usefulness to God. Lost. Every once in a while when we're in a grocery store, not a grocery store so much as a Kmart or some other kind of a store like that, you hear a voice come over the loudspeaker system, you know. Will the parents of a little blonde-haired girl named Kimberly please report to the service desk, or whatever her name may be, you know. She's lost. Or maybe her parents are lost. She's not lost. She knows where she is, and so does everybody in the store. But see, she's not experiencing the protection and care of her parents at that moment. And that's what lost people are like. They are outside the scope of God's protection and care. They're lost. This word lost is also translated in Scripture perish. It's the word the disciples used when they were in that storm, you remember, and they were afraid that the boat was going to capsize and they were going to lose their lives, and Jesus was sound asleep. They said, Lord, save us, we are perishing, perishing. They were not only afraid that they would be lost to Christ's usefulness and purposes, but they feared that their own personal well-being was in jeopardy, that they were facing personal physical ruin. And that's the idea also in this word lost. People are lost in a spiritual sense in that they are in danger of eternal ruin. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, that's our word, should not be lost, but have everlasting life. It's the same word. Translated lost in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost. And right there in John chapter 3, Jesus goes on to explain what it means to be lost. What's going to happen to lost or perishing people? They're going to be condemned. He said, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned. And on down in the chapter, the Apostle John goes on to teach us that lost people have the wrath of God abiding on them. He who believes in the Son, John 3:36, has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God. It's obvious that Jesus never thought that lost people would simply cease to exist after death. He taught that they would suffer eternal conscious punishment, eternal loss of well-being, eternal ruin. I don't particularly like this doctrine, but it's in the scripture. He spoke in Matthew 25:41 of everlasting fire. And in verse 46 of that same chapter, he talked of everlasting punishment. It's difficult to imagine, even to comprehend. But that's what the wrath of God entails. Everlasting punishment. That's what it means to be lost. Lost to God forever. Experiencing eternal ruin. Loss of well-being. But Jesus came and died so that they would not need to suffer that fate. So that they would not perish, but have everlasting life. If your loved ones or neighbors were dying of a dread disease and you were the only one who had the cure for that disease, you'd give it to them, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd do everything in your power to see that they knew what they needed to do to get well. Well, our lost loved ones and neighbors are suffering a worse fate than physical death. They're facing eternal ruin. And we have the only cure. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what keeps us from giving it to them? What keeps us from sharing it with them? What keeps us? As one unbeliever said to a Christian who was witnessing to him, "If I believed your gospel, I'd be willing to crawl across the country on broken glass to tell people about it." But we who have heard the message all of our lives and have believed it and are saved sometimes don't feel that strongly about it, do we? People need the Lord because they're lost. If you have your Bible and you haven't opened it yet, I'd like you to open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul talks about being lost. I quoted this verse just a moment ago, or I quoted verse 3 actually. If our gospel be hidden or veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing or who are lost. Verse 4 says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." People need the Lord not only because they're lost, but because, Paul says, they're blind. They're blind to the truth. They can't see that they're lost. They have blinded minds. The gospel is the good news of light. It sheds light on the basic issues of life. It tells us where we came from and why we're here and where we're going. It gives light to our lives, and it keeps on shining in various ways. It shines as preachers preach it. It shines as believers live it in their daily experience and as they share it verbally with their friends day after day. The light keeps shining, but people can't see it because they're blind. Satan has a way of making the message look ludicrous so that people can't see the light. He's a master at it. You mean you really believe that Jesus is God's Son who came from heaven and who lived on the earth? You mean God lived on the earth? You got to be kidding, you know. You mean to tell me you really do believe that folks who don't trust your Jesus are going to spend eternity in hell in conscious punishment? You don't really believe that, do you? And he makes it sound so ludicrous that lost people can't see it. So they're still groping around in the dark without any meaning or purpose to their existence, except maybe to make it to the weekend. That's the number one goal in the lives of many people today. Make it to the weekend. That's all they're trying to do. TGI Friday. You know, thank God it's Friday. Now we have 2 days off. And some people can't even do that. They can't make it to Friday, and so they check out. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among 15 to 24-year-olds. And it's increasing at an alarming rate among elderly people in our day. Some lost people insist they can see. They're not blind. They know what life is all about. They know where they're going. They know what's happening until a crisis strikes. Like a sudden debilitating illness or a sudden accident or injury or the tragic death of a precious loved one. And then while they thought they had it all together, suddenly they realize that nothing really makes sense to them. Nothing fits together. And it's at those moments that their hearts are open and tender and they realize they've been wandering around in the dark. They don't really understand what life is all about. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is more powerful than Satan. He can strip away the satanic scales of blindness and bring people out of darkness into His marvelous light. How does He do that? Well, the young people shared a few ways tonight in their little drama. He does it through prayer, for one thing. Do you pray for unsaved people? Are the folks you know who have never come to a knowledge of Christ that are on your prayer list? God answers prayer. More people are won to Jesus Christ through prayer than any other single means. Prayer. Another way is living a consistent Christian life before them. I mean, when they see peace and purpose in our lives, even in times of crisis, they know we have something they don't have. They know something's missing in their lives. They know that's supernatural. They can't duplicate that in their own strength. And they sense a need that they don't sense at any other time when they see the living Christ living through us. The light begins to dawn. And certainly they need to hear a clear presentation of the gospel from us when their hearts are open and prepared. We need to pray, we need to live the life before them, but we need to share with them verbally the good news that Jesus saves. Christ died for their sins. But they need the Lord. Not only because they're lost, but because they're blind. There's a third reason people need the Lord, and that's because they're hurting. I'd like you to turn in your Bible, please, back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. On the surface, things seem to be going fine with many unbelievers. But scratch the surface, and the hurts begin to ooze out. Sometimes more than ooze out, sometimes gush out. Jesus knew that. Do you remember this occasion where He was touring Galilee and teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel and healing the sick? And in verse 36 of Matthew 9 we read, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." Weary and scattered. New American Standard translates that distressed and downcast. Here are two words that sum up Christ's assessment of unbelievers. I would think that's an important two words, or those are important two words to understand, wouldn't you? He says they're like sheep without a shepherd, weary or distressed, scattered or downcast. Look at just the first word. It means literally, this word weary or distress, it means to flay or to skin. As a person would skin the hide off an animal. Or as a person's human skin would be flayed with a merciless whipping. Flayed. The idea is distress, harassed, wearied, worried, troubled, exhausted, completely worn out. What an appropriate description of the masses of people in the world today. Normally they paint on as pleasant an exterior and attractive appearance as they can, but underneath they feel whipped and beaten, skinned and flayed. Their marriages are falling apart, their children are on drugs, or they haven't turned out like they thought they should or would. They find little or no satisfaction in their jobs. They've gotten themselves into a financial hole trying to buy all the material things in life they thought would make them happy but haven't made them happy. And they hurt. All the way down and all the way through, they hurt. They're weary, distressed. The songwriter said it so well. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries that only Jesus hears. That sums up this word as well as anything I've ever read. They're wearied. They're distressed. They're hurting. And Jesus can soothe those wounds and heal those hurts. He doesn't work out every problem overnight, as we all well know. But he makes changes in our lives that help. And he gives grace to help us cope. Because he can give life. He came to give it. And to give it more abundantly. But somebody has to tell them. That's why Jesus followed up this assessment of the human race by saying to his disciples in verse 37, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We're the somebodies that he can use, if we're willing. And we shall be willing when we realize how desperately people do need the Lord. They need him because they're lost, because they're blind, and because they're hurting. Let me give you one more reason. It's right here in verse 36 again. It's that second word. Because they are discouraged. Discouraged. It's the second word, scattered, in my translation, the New King James. Downcast, the New American Standard says. It pretty well sums it up. The word means literally to cast down or throw down, to prostrate as from drunkenness or a mortal wound. It came to be used of animals lying on the ground in utter helplessness and in a forsaken condition. I mean, just picture a sheep without a shepherd. He's been wandering aimlessly. He's torn by briars. He's cut and bruised by rocks. He's got broken bones because he slipped into crevices along the way. And now he's not only exhausted, but he's totally confused. He doesn't know which way to turn. He doesn't know where to go for help. And so he simply lies down in despair. That's this word. Scattered or downcast. That's what often happens to unbelievers when they start searching for answers. They're looking here and there and they can't find anything that really satisfies. In some cases, they turn to religion for help. And too often, they find no help in religion, only more confusion and more distress. As the Jews of Jesus' day, they find a religion of works with its unbearable burden of laws and rules to keep that only further discourages and confuses them. And like sheep without a shepherd, they don't know which way to go or where to turn for help. And sometimes they just give up in confusion and despair. Just throw up their hands and say, "It's useless. There is no answer. There are no answers. There are no solutions to life's problems. Christ came to give answers. He didn't come to discourage us, but to encourage us. Not to weigh us down with burdens, but to lift us up with wings. And he can do that. That's why people need him, because they need to be lifted up. They're discouraged. And that's why we must tell them. And again, the songwriter put it so clearly in the second stanza of that song. We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life that only we can share. People need the Lord. Steve, come on up, will you, with your gang, and sing it for us one more time, will you? People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives, for people need the Lord? Will you be one of those who introduces those people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Together, shall we? Gracious Father, we thank you for this message that the young people have ministered to us tonight. Oh God, I pray that you will burn it deep within the recesses of our souls. Help us never, never to look in the eyes of an unbeliever and not see a person, a soul in desperate need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as we walk down the street, as we walk through the grocery stores, as we pass people in the hallways, may we see them as people who need Jesus Christ. May we always be open to some means by which we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Help us to be faithful in praying for unbelievers. Oh God, help us to live consistent Christian lives before them, demonstrating the supernatural peace and purpose which the Lord Jesus can give. And then, Father, give us holy boldness and courage to open our mouths and speak, share graciously and lovingly and tenderly the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that by your matchless grace, we will see others come to know the Savior through our testimony. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.